here in the top spot, there was something that was said during Sin News yesterday, which I found intriguing, but you have to let the man cook because, you know, when John McKay's reading the news on Channel 8, you don't have Delkis stopping things down. At least not
I would
always.
Love that.
That would
be That'd
great,
be fun. Yeah.
You have to let the anchor deliver the news. But Monty said one thing yesterday that caught my interest, and I feel like we could have a little discussion about that. Justin, you said you used to work in a movie theater growing up, and you hated it because that's one of those jobs that I've never had, and it might be terrible. I have no idea, but I always thought working at either at a movie theater or a Blockbuster as a high schooler looking for part-time stuff, that would be a dream job to me.
I hated parts of it. I didn't hate the whole thing. I didn't like cleaning up the theaters, especially after really busy showings, like on Friday nights or Saturday nights.
Or summertime when kids are out of school and they can go to a theater any time of day.
Yeah. Like, that was bad because, for various reasons. One, if it is super busy, we have to get in there and clean it within, like, 10 minutes. And if someone spilled their popcorn all over the ground, you'd have to go sweep all that up. The floor is just covered in spilt soda. You would get dip cup remnants all over your hand. Like, it was just, it was gross. I couldn't stand having to clean the theater.
Was this a high school job for you?
No, this was when I was in college.
Okay. And how long were you employed there?
I was trying
there?
To think about that yesterday. It was between like a year and 2 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice little tenure.
Yeah. It was, you start out, like everyone starts out in concessions and ushering, and concessions was not great either, but at least that, the time flew by because especially, yeah, if you worked Friday and Saturday nights, you never had time to stop. You were just constantly having to fill people's popcorns and fill their drinks and pull hot dogs out of the fryer and all this crap.
What was the biggest headache? Like a bartender, like if it's busy Friday, Saturday night, and you get some girl that wants a frozen drink just to stop things down, it takes a while to make that. What was the thing at the movie concessions that was like the big hassle for, I mean, obviously sodas and popcorn is probably pretty simple, but what was the thing that would really knock you down a little bit?
Honestly, when people wanted to layer their popcorn, that was the longest because we had the little butter stations off to the side.
Uh-huh.
And so if they ordered like a large bag of popcorn, they would say, can you fill it up like a third of the way? Let me go run over, put butter, come back.
Really?
You fill it up more. Yes. And they would tell us, like, you know, unless we're super busy, just do it for them. And so when you do that, now you're having to slow everything down because you have to wait for them to go over there and fill it up and put butter on it and come back, and you have to add more.
Would people put, like, gummy candies mixed in the popcorn? Would they ask you to...
They wouldn't ask us to do that.
Make a popcorn parfait for them?
I mean, they definitely
like,
did
I can
that
sell you the
there.
Candy and you can do it
yeah. right.
if you want to.
But I wasn't going to be the mixologist. They had to handle that on their own.
So what was the ladder working up? Because you started in concessions, and you were there for a couple years, so you must have made it pretty far.
So it was, you know, concessions and ushering were just entry. Then you could also, I think, be like a... At the time, you still got tickets, so you're a ticket taker.
So those booths are tiny. So you're just in this tiny booth for.
Well, no, this was at the front where I worked, because I worked at AMC Firewheel in Garland.
Okay.
You would buy your tickets outside because it was like an outdoor mall. Mm-hmm. You would buy your tickets outside, and then you'd have to come in and be funneled through one person, and I would have to read their ticket, tell them what theater they're in, and point them in the right direction. Then you could work in the box office where you sell tickets, and that was all right. That was cool. The one thing I didn't like about that was the city of Garland on Friday and Saturday nights had a curfew.
Oh.
So anyone that was under the age of 17 could not be at the theater past like 10 p.m.
So you're carding people at that point.
Correct. And if you were under 17, you had to be like with someone that was 21. So if I would see high school kids trying to buy a ticket to a movie at, you know, 10:30, I would have to card them, and they didn't understand why.
And you're like 20 years old having to tell some 17-year-old no.
Yeah, but I really got off on that power.
Oh, really?
So what do you do if they're like,
you tell them no.
You just tell them no?
You tell them no, I can't do it.
Like, I'm gonna have to call the police if you don't leave.
Bring your mommy here.
Yeah, it never got
your mommy
to that, but I definitely was like, yeah, no, sorry. And they'd be like, well, can you at least not smile while you say it? Like, it's involuntary. I can't help it.
Just giving him the heave-ho. You've got to get out of here.
And that would lead to the most combative people, because obviously that's mainly kids.
Yeah,
and
they're all teed up.
They would get upset with me, and one guy got real mad, and he was like, look, dude, I'm 22. And I said, okay, well, I need to see your ID. I don't have an ID. Okay, well, then I can't sell you the ticket. Well, he's like, dude, I could go buy a beer right now and bring it to you. Would that be proof?
Not with an ID.
Like, and that's why I was like, well, how are you going to buy the beer without an ID?
Yeah, even if you're 22, you're not an adult because you don't have an ID.
So
be a grown man.
That was
take care of your stuff.
Yeah, that was interesting, and then the best part, which is what I did towards the last few months of my tenure there, was be in the projection booths.
Ooh.
And that was fun because at the time, it was when like actual film was being phased out. So this was like the early 2010s. And we had a couple of like IMAX digital theaters, but for the most part, it was an 18 theater place and they had all film. So we would have to build the film when they sent it to us. Because they would send it in like three different cans, and you'd have to go in there with a splicer and glue it together, like glue the trailers to the front of it, and do all that. And then an hour before the show, you'd have to go in there and feed it through this like really elaborate system, and then run to another theater. And if you were the only one up there,
oh man,
it was a pain in the ass.
What was the training like to learn to splice film? That feels like something that you can't just teach somebody in a day.
No, and that was definitely something that they if you were in high school, they were not going to have you do that. Mm. You had to be a little bit older. And it took, it took probably a month of just watching somebody else, like a manager, do it before they finally said, okay. Because if you were to ruin the film or something, that was multi-thousands of dollars that you screwed up.
Did you ever do like a Brad Pitt from Fight Club thing and just splice some adult films?
No, I didn't do any bits because I was worried that, you know, Harvey Weinstein or somebody was going to come after me.
Yeah, you don't want that.
But then, so if you had all 18 theaters that were, you know, you were in charge of, it was the most stressful thing. But you worked at like your own pace, and you weren't having to deal with, we called them guests. We couldn't call them customers because they were guests at our theater.
Yes.
And it was, incredibly stressful. But if you had two people up there, you each only had 9 theaters, and that was cake.
So I always imagine the projectionist gets done with whatever duties, and they can just sit there and watch the movie through the cutout.
I mean, it would depend on how many theaters there are. Since the one I was at had 18, there was a little bit of downtime. Like, you would find, okay, I have 20 or 30 minutes here where I can just hang out and not do anything. But for the most part, you're either having to go actually start a movie at the start time or go set another one up or go stop one. So you're usually having to do something.
So as a youngster, my dad would sometimes drop me off at the batting cage all day, and they had a thing where you $20, you get your hand stamped, and you could just stay there. It was almost like a weird babysitter type service for him. Other times, he would give me $20 to go watch a movie, and he would drop me off at the theater knowing I would buy one ticket, and then I would theater hop as a young scamp. How prevalent was that, and how did you guys try to like curtail that back in the day?
I know it was something that our managers cared about. I wasn't really looking for that. That wasn't going to bother me too much. The main thing that I looked out for was I had to monitor our family bathrooms to make sure people weren't having sex in them.
Yeah,
because that
I've heard stories about that.
Times.
Did you ever
quite a bit?
You ever happen upon anything?
Popcorns make me horny.
I never myself like walked in on it, but I would hear, like on the radio, that they had to call the manager and the cop because I guess some guy had some girl pinned up against the koala machine or whatever.
Oh, no.
And they'd have to. God. Is there anything lower than having your face pinned up against that? The AMC Garland?
Did you ever hear about it happening in the theater? Like a real life
hear
popcorn
about
trick?
It? No, but I mean,
Because I knew of people at the theater in my hometown. And that was the thing, is like, the theater is employing kids that are 15 to 18 years old. They all go to our high school. So if we wanted to go to a movie on the weekend, it was like yours, where we would just walk in the front door, and it's a kid that we have in algebra class is tearing tickets. He'd be like, oh yeah, just walk in. So we would never pay for a movie. And they don't care. Like, they don't care that you're going in for free. It doesn't hurt them.
It's hard to do that now because you have these, like, assigned seats. And
yeah.
If you have a waiter or waitress, they have to check, like, make sure you're in the right seat. That sort of, cuts down on theater hopping.
We didn't have that. And we also had two where that was a big deal because we had, you know, like, separate exits where people could go out and you could very easily just, you know, buy one ticket, get in, and then go open the door real quick and let your buddies in. The thing is, though, like you said, the actual movie theater companies don't make that much money off of ticket sales. Most of that goes back to the actual people that make the movies. That's why your concessions are so high. Because if, like, for a $12 ticket, depending on the movie, like if it's the Avengers or something, they might make like a quarter.
Really?
Yeah, they make nothing. I mean, it's basically to get you in there to buy the concessions.
Well, what about like when they re-release something? Because I have a local theater I like to go to, and they'll have like a bunch of, throughout the month, they'll have like a whole calendar of like,
you go see Trainspotting.
Whatever anniversary, or oh, this is the theme for the month, so they'll have a bunch of
Trainspotting.
Yeah, it's coming back to Cinemark. I actually saw the preview for it this weekend.
Yeah, I don't know how that, or like AMC, those smaller ones do that kind of stuff.
I'm guessing the theaters probably make more on that, I would imagine.
Yeah, because especially like smaller movies too, they'll make more. Like if it's a release that they know is not going to do as well, you know, you basically have to incentivize the theater to want to carry it. Mm-hmm. So you tell them, okay, we'll give you $3 for every ticket sold. Wow. if you show the movie. So that's why you'll be like, how is this movie still in theaters? It's because the theater's like, well, I'll at least run it and see what I can get. But there were multiple times where I would go to a movie and there would just be nobody in there. And that was obviously the best perk about it was getting free movies. Mm-hmm. Because anytime that I wanted, I would just call up to my manager and say, hey, I want to go see a movie, and they would approve it. The coolest thing was that applied to any AMC theaters in America. So I was in San Antonio on a trip with my family, and we went out and I saw this girl and we were talking, and I was hey, you want to go to the movie? And she said, yeah. And I noticed there was an AMC theaters nearby. And I was like, I got to try to pull out a flex here.
AMC black card. Watch this.
I got the hookup. Give me 1 second. And I pulled off to the side and called my manager back in Richardson and said, hey, I want to go see, I think it was The Proposal.
Oh, yeah.
With Ryan Reynolds.
That's a great date movie.
Sure.
And Sandra Bullock. And I said, hey, I need 2 tickets to this theater. Can you call up to AMC in San Antonio and get me in? Yeah, sure, I guess. No problem. And so then I just go up and tell him, hey, I have 2 tickets for Justin waiting for me.
Hey, it's Monty, Hero of the Hardwood.
And
concessions, too, or just the tickets?
Oh, just the tickets. Again, they don't care about that. It's the concessions that...
All right.
Whatever you want.
Like,
we can layer this popcorn.
They're very strict about the concessions. Like, even when we went on break, the only thing that we got for free was popcorn. If we wanted a hot dog or a pretzel or nachos or any of that...
Big old cookie.
We would get, like, 25% off.
That's it. Like,
and
you get half off if you work at a restaurant.
I mean, it's...
Yeah, it was
kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
We have to pay for our company kitchen.
That's true. Our overpriced snacks.
And so people would show up with literally trash bags to load up with popcorn. Because if at the end of the night we had a full tub, they were just going to throw it out. So people would walk out like a vagrant with just a big old bag of popcorn over their shoulder and walk out.
What about the people that would sneak like a 12-pack in to the theater like we used to back in college? Like you just... have a hoodie or a jacket, and everybody would split up.
I don't think anybody really... We feel like we're getting away with something, but the 16-year-olds don't care about
that. Yeah, no,
like,
I would do that. Whenever I would go see a movie, I would sneak in like a chicken sandwich into my pocket or something.
Okay.
I still sneak in alcohol.
Yeah, I still sneak in Dr. Pepper.
Lando sneaks in alcohol to the newsroom.
Yeah. His makes more sense. The other thing that I found that was...
He brought me a 40
by
one
the way,
day.
Sorry, just the sip was on location today.
You know? That's okay.
We'll make up for that's it.
Right. Yeah, I was wondering why you were crying.
Today, I'll just hydrate.
Yeah.
You're don't put your system into shock by putting water in it.
Maybe you won't throw up this weekend.
We'll see.
The other thing, okay, one other thing I hated whenever like a big release would come out because we would have the midnight release where people were camping out, so... The original Twilight came out when I was working there, and we had girls camping out the entire day.
Well, I mean,
a high school girl, like young girls,
like moms.
No, absolutely not. They may have showed up later, but
and then Corby was there also,
right? Scouting.
Mm-hmm.
The last Harry Potter movie was also there at that time,
nerds.
And like a Transformers movie. It was that those nights sucked. But the other one that was weird was the movie Bruno came out when I was working there. And they had us screen it because they were like, you need to decide if you're going to let people see this at your theater.
Did they have a Bruno bike in the lobby for people to...
No, we had a Bruno popcorn box, though, that you could use. But we had to all watch it as like a team and then like give notes on it and decide, are we going to carry this here at our theater? And most people said no, and I said, hell yes.
This is hilarious.
And we carried it at our theater, but it was NC-17, so we had like double checks at the box office, and then at the theater, we had to check like that no one was getting in when they weren't supposed to. But we also were supposed to advise parents, hey, I see you're bringing in a five-year-old. He's going to make his wiener dance for like 3 minutes in this movie. Are you aware of that? And we had to have all these uncomfortable conversations with the parents about what they're about to go see in Bruno, and nobody turned around. Huh. Not a single one. And they were seriously bringing young kids.
If you're committed, you're committed, I guess.
Man, I've
seen Bruno.
I remember how strict the theaters were when the South Park movie came out in like 98, 99.
Yeah.
So if we went to a different movie, like, but it was in the theater, but there were security guards. Like, if you were walking down that hallway at the old Vista Ridge Mall Theater, not the new one, but if you were just going down the hallway, there'd be like a security guard. I thought it was a police officer or something. Like, oh, what movie are you going to? And we're like,
just a rent-a-cop.
Yeah, over here. Like, okay. But they were super strict about that. So that checks out.
Wiener dance for like 3 minutes.
What a turnaround. That was impressive, Ham.
Right at 1:30.
By the way, for those wondering, the proposal girl didn't even put out.
Really?
Even though I got her a free ticket.
What's she up to now?
Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe she's changed her tune after all these years.
Let's find her.
All right. Well, Justin, that's awesome.
You can bring her up to the studio.
She didn't want her face put up against a San Antonio koala station.
Movie theater motto.